In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Well, I don't know what came over me. There we were with Jesus, and it looked like two others with him, and that great bright light. And I just blurted it out. Let's make three shelters here. One each for you. Would you like me to do that, Jesus? I don't know what I was thinking of, but you know me, I'm always saying the wrong thing. But then, what were we doing there anyway? I don't do mountains, me. I'm a fisherman, not a mountain goat. This wasn't the first time he took us up a mountain either. There was that time when he preached to the crowds. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. What a wonderful place the world would be if we could all live like that. Just think if everyone who heard the message that day really took it to heart. What an attraction we would be for the rest of the world. What was it he said? We'd be like a city built on a hill. He kept reminding us about Moses on that other mountain in the Sinai Desert and the Ten Commandments. You have heard it was said, but I say to you, he was talking about fulfilling the commandments. And strong stuff it was too. Going the extra mile and all that kind of thing. Because that's the only way to build a new way of living together based on love and justice. So there he was, and we saw him with Moses that day. Not face to face in a standoff, your law versus mine. No. But they were side by side together. Of course, on that other mountain, when he'd finished his sermon, a lot of people weren't happy. They weren't interested in this peacemaker turn the other cheek stuff. How was that going to make us a great nation again, they said, like we were in the days of King David? Some of them were calling for a real blood and thunder revolution, an earthquake in world politics. That's the way God would do it, they said. Resistance, that's what they wanted. If not through armed struggle, then at least by cutting ourselves off from the rest of the world. Retreating into their own fortress of super purity. More like retreating into your own painted coffins, he said. And that upset the Pharisees, I can tell you. But for him, his message was different. God's way is not the way of a great strong wind breaking rocks into pieces. It's not the way of a terrible earthquake or a fire. And that's what Elijah realized, remember? People didn't like him either. They wanted to kill him to keep him quiet. When he preached against King Ahab and Jezebel, they didn't have much faith in the God of Israel. So they thought they'd better worship some other gods as well. You know, kind of insurance policy, just to be on the safe side. Just in case. Not that it did them any good either. Because in the end, the true God is the God who revealed himself to Elijah upon that mountain in his cave. The still, small voice. And there was Elijah too, with Jesus side by side. Just before we went up the mountain, Jesus was saying people were out to kill him too. Of course, I told him, couldn't happen. God forbid. Said the wrong thing again, didn't I? So that day, on the mountain, can you blame me? There they were, side by side, him and Moses and Elijah, and that great dazzling light shining through them. It seemed like Jesus was at the peak. Oops, there I go again. Sorry about the pun. He was at the very top of his career. And it just seemed right and natural to kind of capture that moment and to make it stay that way. Of course, not long after, we were all brought down with a mighty big bump, I can tell you. We had no idea what Jesus really meant when he said he had come to fulfill the law and the prophets. We had no idea how he was going to do it, what it would lead to. And coming down off the mountain, I came in for some teasing from James and John. "Some fisherman you are," they said. "Did the altitude get to your brain? Or have you got a rock between your ears, Peter? Is that what it is?" "Building shelters indeed. You'll be building a church next."